This is Turn One Thoughtseize. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Zach.
And today we are joined in our special episode by the one and only Todd Stevens. Today we're going to do some rundowns of decks that Todd is known for playing, starting with Eldrazi Tron, the current 800-pound, I guess it's not a gorilla, it's like a sort of an octopus monster from the nth dimension, but definitely a deck that we have considered at times to be the best deck in the format. So we wanted to get the progenitor on to talk about playing it and hopefully beating it and get some news you can use. Todd, if you want to just start by giving us sort of a general rundown, a little mini bio, and kind of your how did I get into Magic story.
First of all, thanks for having me on. And I got into Magic really from just playing with friends. Just friends kind of introduced me to the game, and I had a lot of fun with it. And so I went home, and because I lived kind of out in the country, and so I went home and started booting up Magic Online, and so started playing Magic Online in my free time. That's how I started playing the game. And I was a tennis coach and never got to travel to tournaments at all until. And so I started that basically during World Wake, and I played lots of Magic Online, but I didn't go to tournaments until like the summer of 2015 or so. It was like right whenever Battle for Zendikar came out. So I guess that's still in standard, and started traveling to tournaments then. And I've been traveling like basically to every open on the SCG tour since then. And just trying to improve my game. Thankfully, I've been lucky enough to now start playing Magic full time just by streaming and making content for Star City Games now. So that's cool.
What made you pick the Star City circuit over the Pro Tour?
Really, just financially, it's just a lot easier to pay for travel playing on the SCG Tour. Just you don't have to have as good of record to make money and stuff like that, and that's why. GPs are a lot more expensive just to enter, and you have to have a lot better record to make money and everything.
Sure.
Yeah, it is really hard to cash GPs like consistently.
Yeah.
You can do one, but like if you're trying to cash every single week, I mean that's hard.
Right.
So what drew you to Eldrazi Tron initially? I know before you started playing the deck, there wasn't really even an Eldrazi Tron deck. There was Tron, which was like the classic Karn, Ulamog, Worldbreaker deck that people are pretty familiar with. And then there was like a colorless Eldrazi during Eldrazi Winter, but mostly there was like blue-white-ish Eldrazi stemming back from the blue-white Eldrazi deck in Eldrazi Winter into like what we know as Bant Eldrazi now. People have splashed like green-red Eldrazi, but really there's no one's seen anything like the deck you put together initially when you finally did it. What led you to making this deck?
Honestly, first time I saw it was actually in a 5-0 list back last probably July, probably about a year ago now, and I wrote an article last August saying the most underrated decks in Modern were Eldrazi Tron and Grixis Death Shadow, which is kind of crazy. Grixis Death Shadow back then was definitely a lot different. You know, it was like had like Kiln Fiend and Temur Battle Rage and stuff. Different deck, but I thought those, then you know, because Jataxian Probe was still legal, but I thought those decks were pretty good. And so I was kind of working on Eldrazi Tron off and on since then, and then last like November I started having some pretty good results with it, and then I took it to the really kind of the breaking out party for the deck was whenever I brought it to the Players Championship and kind of took everybody off guard. I was playing White Red Prison at all the opens before that and doing well with White Red Prison leading up into that. And the new discovery then that I really liked in the deck was Hangerback Walker. I had four Hangerback Walkers in the main deck and liked that there. I was still kind of new with the deck. I had one camera match against Elves that I just sideboarded terribly and just had like all my chalices in against Elves that just basically cost me the match because I just kept on drawing chalices and they had Cavernous Souls, of course, and just like it didn't do anything. Sure. And but yeah, so then kind of put the deck down, thought it was like okay but not great. But then whenever Aether Revolt came out, Walking Ballista was added to the equation. It just changed the game completely. Right away whenever I saw the card, I was like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be amazing in Eldrazi Tron. And took out Hangar Back Walker and put in Walking Ballistas, basically, and it just changed the deck so much because the deck didn't really have like very good removal at all. That was like a huge problem with the deck, and Walking Ballista was basically like a great removal spell that was awesome right away on turn two to deal with Dark Confidant, which was a huge problem, or like it was your best late game mana sink whenever you had lots of mana in the late game.
Yeah, the deck was also light on two drops before, right? Like, that's why you were playing Hangar Back?
Yeah, yep. It basically just didn't have any two drops. So, also added in Mind Stone right around that same time, too, with Walking Ballistics. I didn't even have Mind Stone before with it. So, Mind Stone and Walking Ballistics were, like, kind of the new additions that were, like, the only two drops, basically.
Sure.
Man, Walking Ballista has just, like, changed the texture of so many decks. It's insane to see a card like that, which, like, on its face, you're like, okay, like it seems really good, and then you put it on the field and you're like, wow, Infect can literally never beat this card.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of cards. I mean, it's just like the best card against like Affinity also. There's so many. It's a must answer card because the 4 mana put counters on it, that's not actually that difficult.
Yeah. So can you just sort of give us a quick rundown of how the deck works and some of the key cards? Obviously, I talked about Walking Ballista, but there's the sort of meat in the sandwich.
Yeah, so the meat, of course, it's called Eldrazi Tron. So the meat are the Eldrazi. So we have 4 Mattery Shaper, 4 Thought Knot Seer, 4 Reality Smasher, and 2 Endbringer. So they're the 14 creatures, Eldrazi creatures, that kind of make up the heart of the deck and change it from a regular Tron build. So a regular Tron build that's been around since the beginning of Modern, the green Tron decks, are really focused on putting the Tron lands together, Urza's Mind, Power Plant, and Tower, and cheating out big colorless stuff with all the mana. Now, Eldrazi Tron can do that at times, but it's not really focused on doing that. You still have your Tron lands and you still have your expedition maps to find them. But the what makes this different is when you don't have that, you still have a good B plan of playing these Eldrazi creatures. So Mattery Shaper is a fine 2-drop if you have Eldrazi Temple, and kind of the same thing with Thought Knot Seer for a 3-drop and Reality Smasher for a 4-drop. So just good ways to interact with the opponent. I think the Eldrazi kind of get a bad rap because of whenever they are first released and having Eldrazi Temple and Eye of Ugin in the format. But I think they're really like the fair, misunderstood creatures in Modern. Because they're like a 4-mana 4-4 and like a basically like a Thundermaw Hellkite and stuff. And like you're just playing like mid-range creatures in like a format that can do a bunch of like unfair stuff. And I think they're kind of the good guys. But they're the big meat of the deck. To enable to slow down some of the unfair decks, you have 4 Chalice of the Void, which is a key part of the main deck that will be able to counter spells from different decks. This really helps you against decks like Burn or Living End or Storm or just tons of different combo decks. That's your way to fight them. And then you sprinkle in with a couple of removal spells. You have on the top end All is Dust, which is just the killer in the mid-range strategies. This is your best card against like black-green whatever decks. Any other kind of mid-range decks, you just play All is Dust, the game ends, and you win, and your life's great. And then there's also Karn Liberated, the Planeswalker that's just so extremely strong when you actually do have Tron. You basically need Tron to cast it, but when you do have Tron, it's just insane.
Yeah, being on the receiving end of multiple All is Dusts, I've been made very sad by that card.
Yeah, that card's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I've been getting destroyed by All is Dust when I play this deck. I've been playing a green-white hate bear deck that's similar to the green-white deck you've been playing recently. A little different, but you can never beat All is Dust. Like,
you know what card you need?
Sigarda.
Yep, you need Sigarda.
I was playing Sigarda in my sideboard specifically for it. It's just like, it's fine against decks with removal, right? But like, I'm not like super in for a 5-mana creature in a Coco deck. But yeah, you need Sigarda against this card.
Yep.
Just play a Tajiru Preserver.
I don't even know what that does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same text, but it's on like a 2-mana 2/1 or something like that.
Okay.
So yeah. Hey, look.
I've won a game against Eldrazi Trauma with just Sigarda in my green white deck, where they had like all his dust in their hand, and they had an Endbringer that was out and like doing stuff, but they couldn't target my Sigarda, and they had a Karn that was just plusing the whole time because they couldn't minus on my Sigarda. My Sigarda was just hitting for 5 in the air every turn. Sigarda's pretty good in this matchup.
Great. It feels unbeatable. They can't do anything against it.
Of course, the next time I played against Eldrazi Tron, I slammed Sigarda, and I was all happy doing my dance inside, and they just played an Ugin. And I was like, where did that Ugin come from? And just exiled it.
Yeah.
This isn't the list I gave you to play.
Exactly. So you win some, you
lose. All right, so let's push this forward a little bit here. When you're playing Eldrazi Tron, you sit down, say round one. What are the type of decks you're hoping to see on the other side? What do you think, you know, its best matchups are? And, you know, what kind of decks, like, why would you play, like, what kind of field would you want to pick this deck against, I guess?
Okay. I really like playing against the card Thoughtseize. I think if my opponent plays a Thoughtseize, that's pretty good for me, because they're just probably some kind of, like, mid-range black deck. The worst Thoughtseize deck to play against is, of course, Grixis Shadow, because that's the best Thoughtseize deck, but that one's a lot tougher than the others. But if they're playing any kind of, I was saying, like, black-green deck, those are usually the best matchups. Other good matchup are, like, I actually like playing against any kind of, like, Hate Bear-style deck or, like, the Eldrazi Taxes. I think those are pretty easy because, like, they try to attack your mana base, but you have so many mana sources that it's just not... That while they're wasting resources attacking your mana base, you can still just play your cards and beat them. Because you have 24 lands, you have 4 expedition maps that are just basically lands, so it's like 28. You have 2 mind stones, so that's 30. So literally half of the deck are just mana sources. And then also anything that Chalice of the Void is just lights out against, or that relies on the graveyard a bunch. So basically like Living End, very, very good matchup, because Chalice can just counter the Living Ends, and then you have so much graveyard hate in the deck. I had 2 Relic of Progenitus in my main deck to help fight against Grixis Shadow, 2 more in the board, 2 Surgicals in the board, 2 Grafdigger's Cage in the board. Basically, Dredge is kind of unlosable with all the graveyard hate. Like, they have to win game one, and then they have to have a, like, get really lucky post-board also. So those are the kind of decks that I really want to be facing with Eldrazi Tron.
So what's the flip side? What's the worst deck? Somebody sits down and goes, or Forest Pithing Needle, and you're like, oh my god, what is this life?
I think the worst decks you will fit, like, if like Ad Nauseam's really bad. That's definitely not a good one whatsoever. I don't want to face Ad Nauseam at all, especially if they have turn 0 ley line on game one. That's not fair. And then the other thing is, it's really hard to beat Cinderglades. Cinderglades are really good. Mm. Cinderglades usually have Valakuts. Valakut, I like basically everything, but Valakut's basically the only card in, like, Magic I just really don't like. I mean, that thing should be legendary. Like, why? I don't understand why that's not legendary. It's just, I don't know. I've never enjoyed, like, playing games against Valakut. That's, like, the one thing. You know, everybody has, like, their deck they don't like. A lot of people don't like Tron, or, you know, maybe people don't like Affinity or something else, but Valakut's the one thing, because basically all of my fun mid-range decks that I like to build, they all just get smushed by a bunch of, like, mountains getting thrown at my face somehow.
No, man, I'm totally with you. Valakut should definitely be legendary. That was a huge design mistake.
Yeah, I mean, because at the time, they just didn't want, because the legend rule at the time, like, they didn't want, like, one person to play a Valakut, and then, like, another person plays a Valakut, and then they both go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they need to get rid of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't hold my breath on that one, unfortunately. Because
yeah.
they're already under so much heat yep. for changing things. But hey, at least we got rid of expertise breaking and entering. And I was like, it's Christmas in August or whenever they made the announcement.
Yeah. So Valakut Ad Nauseam, and then probably like Affinity is probably your next worst matchup. A lot of people don't like playing against Affinity at all because the matchups you lose against Affinity just aren't close, and they just smush you, and they feel bad, but you just have to realize that that's how they are. It's either you win like a close one with your Basilisk Collars and Walking Ballistas, or you just get smushed. That's how it basically is, but all the games you win are usually like pretty close and fun.
That's fair. So from like an outsider's perspective, if you like are in, like if you have a bunch of people at your local store playing Eldrazi-tron, let's say, what is the most effective way to beat this deck? Like, what kind of cards do you want in your sideboard? What kind of strategies would you play in general? Like, what?
I forgot about the probably the best one. So this is what I did at the Invitational, because I thought there was going to be lots of Eldrazi-tron, which there was, and there was always like one or two pilots sitting next to me playing Eldrazi-tron, but I never got lucky enough to pair against it. But I played just regular Green-tron. Regular Green-tron is a huge favorite against Eldrazi-tron, because there's kind of doing the same, because Eldrazi-tron just doesn't stop Green-tron from assembling Tron and then casting like Ulamog and Karn and stuff like that at all. So Green-tron is a real good way to fight it if you're into that. If you want just like specific cards to shut it down, Stony Silence is a good card that a lot of people don't really quite realize, because Walking Ballista is so powerful, and same with Basilisk Collar, because usually against creature decks you're going to have Basilisk Collar. So if you're playing like a white creature deck, you want Stony Silence. Pithing Needle, also a pretty decent card, because Pithing Needle can name Walking Ballista, Endbringer, or Karn Liberated, just naming one of those, and then all his dust doesn't clean it up, so that's usually a pretty good one. Hard removal spells, you want stuff like Path to Exile and Dismember and things that will kill Thought Not Seer, Reality Smasher, Endbringer, like they'll kill 5/5s basically. If you're playing blue, obviously Ceremonious Rejection is a heck of a card, just one mana can counter basically anything in the deck.
So can you just give us a little bit of a comparison between sort of, are there different builds of the deck that people can be keeping an eye out for? Like, would you consider Eldrazi different enough that it's a variant, or just like a totally different strategy?
With Eldrazi Tron, there's not really different builds. Basically, everybody's within like 5 or 6 cards of each other. They may have like a few different sideboard choices here or there, maybe a couple different main deck choices, but cards are basically the same. But yeah, there's Bant Eldrazi also, which I think is which is a different deck, because you don't have access to the Tron lands, but then you also have access to a much better sideboard, because you're playing three colors. So you can have a lot of like the white sideboard cards like Stony Silence, Rest in Peace, which are really nice. You can have blue counter spells. I honestly think that Bant Eldrazi is probably the most underrated deck right now. It's kind of disappeared, but it's a real good chance that I play it in either Syracuse or Richmond one of the next 2 weekends, because I think it's just in a really good spot, because I think combo decks are going to start coming back, and Bant Eldrazi is much better against combo decks because of the counter spells than like what Eldrazi Tron is.
That's fair. That is fair. So I know one thing that I have issues with when I play a deck for the first time, like when I first pick it up, it's usually pretty easy to figure out what to bring in out of your sideboard. Like if you just took a list from MTG Goldfish or Top 8 or something, you'd like copy someone's list. You know, if you're playing against Affinity, you bring in your Stony Silences. You're playing against Dredge, you bring in your Graveyard Hate. Like, I think most people can figure that out pretty easily, but one of the things a lot of people have trouble with is figuring out what cards you actually have to cut out of your main deck. I think that's an underrated skill to have, and something that takes a lot of learning to like kind of figure out. So in general with Eldrazi Tron, what are the cards you look to cut first in just any given matchup?
I cut Chalice of the Void a ton, honestly. Like, unless it's like a combo deck that's really good against, I'm cutting it. So like I'm keeping it in against like Grixis Shadow and Burn and Storm and some decks like that. But basically any kind of, if they're playing any kind of like creature mid-range deck, Chalice of the Void's the first card to go. Even if they have, you know, even if they have stuff like just even if they have like a lot of one drops or anything, it's just gone, because it's like it's a really bad top deck late. So basically any match that's like a later attrition based game, or I think Chalice of the Void gone. Reality Smasher, out of the creatures, Reality Smasher is probably the one that I cut the most. I cut Walking Ballista against Grixis Shadow, but that's like the only time I ever cut that card. Maybe a little bit against Burn also, actually. But Reality Smasher can kind of go sometimes against other creature decks, because Eldrazi Tron turns, like, you're actually a control deck against other creature decks, because you use your Walking Ballistas, Endbringers, Basilisk Collar, All is Dust, Karn. You basically just turn into a control deck with a lot of removal against other mid-range decks. And so if attacking's not really the game plan and, like, killing all their stuff's the game plan, Reality Smasher is gone. So maybe stuff against, like, Merfolk, Elves, any Collected Company decks, stuff like that, that have, like, Kitchen Finks and Voice, stuff like that. Like, Smasher's not, like, attacking's not really the game plan. Killing all their stuff's the game plan. And if killing their stuff's the game plan, then Reality Smasher is the one to go there.
Totally fair. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, so I'm all about the spice. That's my jam. I like tweaking and I like brewing. Are there built-in flex slots? You feel like that somebody could say, okay, you know, maybe here's my unexpected Ugin. Here's my my whatever piece. Is that is it flexible? And is there anything just right off the bat that you can think of that is worth considering, right? Stuff that's higher on the curve, 8s, 9s, 10s, Thespian Stage, something like that, where, you know, four Eldrazi Temples is great, but 5 would be even better.
Right. In the main deck, really the only thing that's the only flex slot really is the 2 Relic of Progenitus. Basically everything else I would recommend not touching at all. So the 2 Relic of Progenitus, you can kind of have some other stuff. You can have like some Basilisk Collar if you have more creature decks, or another All is Dust, or another Mind Stone. Mostly like Basilisk Collar, could even have Ratchet Bomb there. So that's like kind of the 2 slots there. But the sideboard, honestly, basically the whole sideboard is all flex slots, basically, because none of these, since you're just only dealing with just colorless as your only color, so not really a color, nothing's like perfect. Like, you don't have any like amazing sideboard cards, so that they all do like little things and lots of matchups. One card I would probably honestly register that's off a lot of people's radar, but if I play Eldrazi Tron this weekend, I'm probably going to have one Jester's Cap in my sideboard, just to be able to beat a lot of those bad matchups I talked about earlier. So I can basically, like, for Valakut, so I can just have 4 mana to play it, 2 mana to tap, sack it, and go take 3 Valakuts out of their deck. Same thing with, like, Ad Nauseam, take their win cons, or Living End, take their win cons, or even Storm, they don't have that many win cons. So basically against all those kind of decks, like, Jester's Cap is kind of a fun one to be able to play there. I wouldn't really recommend Ulamog. It's just so much mana, it's so hard to cast, and, like, the times you can actually cast it, like, you can usually win the game anyway, have, like, Walking Ballista, have something else. But, yeah, basically there's a lot of these cards, like, maybe if there's more affinity around these days, you probably want more Basilisk Collars, more Ratchet Bombs, more Pithing Needles to name, like, Cranial Plating and stuff. Probably just need some of that, some more of that stuff. Hangerback Walkers and Wurmcoils can be added in at times also. So, basically, lots of flex slots there. Like, the whole sideboard is.
How do you feel about, like, a Sanctum of Ugin package? Like, maybe just, like, a 1-0 Sanctum?
I don't hate it. So, like, Sanctum, I've definitely played it before. The problem is all 24 of these lands are all very good. And, like, the Sanctum would basically have to replace Seagate Wreckage. So, but it could, Chalice of the Void can trigger your Sanctum of Ugin also. You can have it put a Chalice on 4 and have it trigger your Sanctum. And if you have a Cavern of Souls out, you can still cast your Thought Not Seer anyway. But Chalice on 4 is like a good way to be able to beat like Scapeshift. If you're lucky enough to have that mana. But I think it'd have to replace Seagate Wreckage. From what I've tried in the past, I've liked Seagate Wreckage more. But if the metagame's like fast enough where you don't really have time to be activating your Seagate Wreckage, then I could see playing a Sanctum instead.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I've toyed around with it a little bit where, just like for fun on like a Tuesday FNM, I'll put like an Emrakul in the deck and a Sanctum, just try and cast Emrakul because you don't get to do it in standard, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, casting Emrakul is great.
Another thing I've heard people talk about in the deck, and I've seen people say online, is like, hey, You know, can I cut the Seagate wreckage? I don't feel like I'm using it that much. You know, can I trim Cavern of Souls? Can I, like, trim Wastes? And, like, my answer is always, like, I don't think you can ever trim these in Expedition map type decks where, like, you don't want to get rid of tutor targets with tutoring. But, I mean, do you really like Seagate Wreckage? Would you ever consider going up to, like, 3 Cavern of Souls in a Counterspell heavy deck? Or, you know, how do you feel about the mana base? I know you already said it was pretty tight.
Yeah, I could definitely see getting rid of Seagate Wreckage. The rest of them, so Cavern of Souls, I would be willing to play. If there's not many counter spells, I could definitely just play one. Basically, because of the rise of Grixis Shadows, the reason, and like Ceremonious Rejection everywhere, is the reason why I have a second Cavern. I definitely always want 2 waste. I would go to 3 waste before 1 waste. I think just it's just so important with whenever people Ghost Quarter you, Path to Exile you, and that kind of stuff. If there are more land destruction type decks, that's another sideboard card that's definitely worth looking into is Crucible Worlds. That's one I just remember. But anyway, back to this. Ghost Quarter is just too important in the metagame, and obviously you need your Urza's Pieces in the temple. So Seagate Wreckage is really the one that could go. A lot of people have been playing Buried Ruin these days. A lot of people think that's good for just like basically it's like a one-time Academy Ruin that gets their Walking Ballista back after using it. I still prefer Seagate Wreckage, even though the one problem with Seagate Wreckage is there are a large amount of games where you can't activate it because you're just flooded and so you just have land after land in your hand and it's hard to like get the lands out of your hand to be able to activate Seagate Wreckage. That's the one time where it's hard. But top decking it on an empty board in like any kind of mid range matchup, it'll just win the game for you. And so I like being able to win mid-range and control matchups, and that's what Seagate Wreckage helps you do.
Yeah, totally fair.
Sweet. So let's switch up and talk about Company, unless there's anything else you want to sort of touch on with Eldrazi Tron, where, you know, people out there listening to this are like, I need to know.
I think Eldrazi Tron's a very strong deck, and it's my recommendation for if somebody's just starting out in Modern, or maybe they've already like they're brand new to Modern, probably Burn. But like if they're like they know the format and everything, and they just want a really powerful deck that they can't really find like the deck they really want to play and can win with. I recommend this deck because it is really powerful and had like plenty of people that have just like picked up the deck do really well. Like even the open that I won in Charlotte, I wasn't the one seed going in. The one seed was a friend of mine who just took my list a couple days before and hadn't really ever played the deck before, and he was the one seed going to top 8. He was like X1 going to top 8 and just wow. Like first time playing the deck. So like it's definitely a really good like deck that you don't need to a lot of decks in Modern you need to be an expert on. You don't really have to be an expert on Eldrazi Tron to pick it up, play it, and win with it.
I can actually echo that. I played in a PPTQ last weekend where I have a friend that's never played Magic. He's never played Modern. He only plays Vintage. He plays Vintage all the time. And he's like, just had a day off and was like, man, I kind of want to play Magic today. I was like, hey, there's a Modern PPTQ. You can come play. He's like, dude, I don't have a deck. I've got like dual lands and power, but I can't play Modern. I don't have Modern cards. I was like, dude, here, I've got Eldrazi Tron in my bag, you can come play it. He comes to the event, I've been practicing for this PPTQ, I go like 4-2, get like 8th or 9th, like miss out, and he goes 6-0 or 5-0-1, is the one seed, having never played before with Eldrazi Tron, so can confirm.
Like, that's, like, it's a good deck like that. Like, Todd Anderson's opponent in the top 8 of the Invitational, you know, top 8 of the Invitational, that was his first Invitational. He had never played an open before. He'd only played like an IQ or two, and was playing Eldrazi Tron and just smushing a lot of people with it. And so like it's just really powerful, and it's really hard to hate like for other decks. People don't have like a lot of Eldrazi Tron hate because it's just a hard deck to hate.
If you were building this deck and you needed to budget it out, is there? If you don't have access to chalices and you don't have $400 to spend on them, is there something that you would put in this slot that obviously is not going to do the same thing? Or like the reason that chalice is like what $90 right now is because like it's the thing that does what it does. is there a slot in that you could think of that would be at least passable for somebody who's working towards building the full power deck?
Yeah, I would basically, I think you can get away without playing Chalice at all. I'd probably just have, instead of the four Chalice in the main, I'd probably just put probably another two Relic of Progenitus just to help against some combo decks or Living End, stuff like that. And probably like a Basilisk Collar and a Ratchet Bomber. You know, basically some of the sideboard cards we have already in here, maybe even some like Warping Whales. Warping Whales that can counter Scape Shift, which could be pretty important. Maybe you just want some extra Warping Whales there. Basically just some of the cheaper stuff. I think you can get away without Chalice. Chalice is really an all-star in the Grixis Shadow matchup, but they can even K-Command it. But it's an all-star there. It's an all-star against Burn. It's one of your best cards against Burn. So you definitely need to be better against Burn. So probably you want some Basilisk Collars in the main. And besides that, then like Storm, but like Storm is already like a really good matchup anyway with all the Surgicals and Grafter's Cage and Relics and everything. They basically have to go for like Storm post board has to go for the Empty the Warrens plan because there's no way they're going to have enough Storm count to actually Graveshot you out because you just take their graveyard out of play. And so then once you realize they have to be on the Empty the Warrens plan, then you can just have your All is Dust and Walking Ballistas and Ratchet Bombs also to clean that up. So honestly, Chalice is, like, you could definitely play the deck without Chalice. Like, off the top of my head, Burn and Shadow are the two most important matchups, boarded out most every other time. You know, like I said, it's really good against Storm, but you don't need it. There's probably some other decks that I'm not really thinking about, but yeah, you could play the deck without Chalice and be just fine.
Yeah, because that brings the overall price of the deck down, like, dramatically.
Yeah, probably like $350-$400.
Yeah, so that's something that I also just sort of like people to know. You can spend that money on the Karn Liberateds that are also like $60 or $70, but
yeah,
that's life. That is the game.
I was basically none of the deck was in the Modern Masters 3, and I was pretty surprised. Pretty surprised there's no Karn or Chalice or Crucible Worlds or stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, we had, I mean, no Crucible. They just printed a Crucible that features heavily in a deck that we're going to talk about. Segway. You see that?
That was a pretty good one.
It's probably better if I don't then point it out, but I'm ready to move on. So the other kind of deck that you are known for playing, or one of the decks that you're known for playing, is Green White Company or Green White Value Town. And this is a deck that we have been playing with recently, in a bunch of kind of different incarnations, mostly inspired, at least on my part, by the Crucible Worlds on a stick, the Ramanap Excavator. I heard that word so many times this weekend, I feel like I should know how to pronounce it by now. So can you bring us through the sort of Reader's Digest version of Green White Company and sort of how you came to it and why you like it so much?
All right, so yes, this is my favorite deck just to play. So I basically built this deck. This like I said, Eldrazi Tron I found off like a 5-0 list, and a lot of the other decks I'm known for weren't necessarily my idea. Like I was the first one to play Bant Eldrazi, but Michael Majors and Jerry Thompson gave me the idea and kind of helped steer me there. But this deck is 100% my creation, and this one is basically it's because of Courser of Kruphix. That's what the whole deck's built around. It's Courser of Kruphix. So Courser is like probably my favorite card ever made, and I just really wanted to play Courser of Kruphix in Modern. So I started with a deck with just four Courser of Kruphix. I'm going to put those in the deck. I'm never going to board them out. They're just going to be there, and they're going to be great. And then so then I had to build around that. So then I was like, well, if I'm going to play Courser, I should probably be playing Collected Company so I can get more Coursers. And then after that, I realized that Nye the Reliquary would just be perfect with Courser of Kruphix and Collected Company. And the real synergy here with Courser and Knight is pretty amazing. So Courser lets you see the top card of your library, and then Knight lets you basically shuffle your library a ton. And so you're always being able to see the top card of your library, and you can always keep shuffling around. Like if you don't like it, if it's not a land, like maybe you need to hit a land drop. If it's not a land, you can sack a forest or a plains, and you'll get a fetch land and put into play and check the top card of your library again. If you don't like it, then fetch away again and try again. And so that's the meat, and that's the meat of the deck is Courser, Knight, Collect a Company. Now, going around that, realized Azusa Lost But Seeking. It's a card a little before my time, but lets you play, saw it in the Primeval Titan decks, where you can play the Amulet Titan decks, where you can play multiple lands on each turn, and that's Collected Company-able, you know, unlike Oracle Moldiah, which is not. And so I have Azusa Lost But Seeking in here, and I did have, whenever I first started playing the deck, I had Crucible of Worlds also, so I could keep on playing lands over and over. And now, like you're saying, they printed a card just for me, just for my deck. It was so nice of them. Ramunap Excavator, you know, a perfect Collected Company target that doesn't die to some of the sweepers that deal two damage, like Flaying Tendrils I saw like this past weekend with it and stuff. And it lets me play my land cards out of the graveyard. So the main combo of the deck, if there's a combo, I basically built this deck. I didn't want to play combos. I didn't want to like devoted Druid combo or anything. I wanted to be a fair deck. But the main combo is having Excavator out, Azusa out, where you can play multiple lands a turn, and then having a Ghost Quarter where you can destroy one of your opponent's lands, and you can do that three times a turn with having both Ramunap Excavator and Azusa Lost But Seeking out, and that's the real power of the deck. The way the deck wins is basically through Ghost Quarter. Ghost Quarter is the biggest win condition in the deck. Basically, everything else is just kind of like some good 2-for-1 stuff. Voice Resurgence is critical in fighting the Grixis Shadow decks that popped up so much, because you need a 2-drop that can block and then threaten to be a very big creature if it dies. So Voice Resurgence is a real good card. And then Kitchen Finks, just kind of a generic 2-for-1. Kitchen Finks is probably the worst card in the deck. But again, it's kind of there because of Shadow. It used to be Tarmogoyf. I kind of took the Tarmogoyfs out. The card that I would replace, or like if I was going to add something in new to the main deck here, the first card that would go would be Kitchen Finks. You have Ewit and Tireless Tracker, which are both amazing 2-for-1 options. It's just hard for me to find room for more. Maybe I could cut some Kitchen Finks, but like Tireless Tracker with all the fetch lands and shuffling you do, and Neither Reliquary, you can. I've played Tireless Tracker and gotten 6 clues the turn I played it, and it's kind of ridiculous. And don't even have time to ever crack the clues, but Tireless Tracker is pretty ridiculous. I have 2 Scavenging Ooze, which is probably the overall worst card in the deck. Or I guess, I don't know if Kitchen Finks. Well, like Scavenging Ooze is my least favorite. There we go. Scavenging Ooze is my least favorite card in the deck because it just doesn't give you as much value as other stuff. But you really need it to be able to beat Dredge, and it's just a good card against Grixis Shadow that they just use a removal spell on. It's like 2 mana, please kill this thing, and they Fatal Push it, and you're like, all right, cool, now my other stuff will live. And then that's about it. And then you have 7 mana creatures because I'm just basically playing, I think, 14 3 drops. And so I have 7 mana creatures because I just want to go from 1 to 3. I want to just skip over 2, go 1 to 3, and then Collect a Company, and just basically play forever. This deck's very, from what I learned the first time I played it, back in Dallas in February or March, I think March. It's really hard to play on paper. You have tons and tons of shuffling to do. You have to be good with like just handling a deck of like the actual physical actions of shuffling and everything. And it also takes a long time to win, because when I said the Ghost Quarter is your main win condition, well, it usually takes a while to Ghost Quarter people out of the game and win from there. Lots of life total changes, of course, there are crew fix and fetch lands to mark down. So it's a lot of like little tiny game actions to do. But overall, that adds to the fun for me, and it's just a lot of fun for me to play this deck.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of this deck, too. I've actually been playing a Green-White Hate Bears deck online. And it's essentially the same thing, but the big difference is I'm playing Leonin versus Nether the Reliquary, so you're, like, you know, all about the shuffle. You like to shuffle a lot. I'm trying to reduce shuffling completely.
Yep. Do you have, like, a Aether Vial?
I wasn't playing Aether Vial. Okay. I found that the way the deck won the most games was just turn 1 Mana Dork, turn 2 Leonin, Ghost Quarter you, and then the game was just over a lot of times. Which... Yep. Lets you steal a lot of quick, cheap wins, but I have found that this deck, your deck specifically, is a horrible matchup for it because you can never beat the Excavator of Zeus on the other side.
Yep.
So yeah, it's like, a nightmare.
Arbiter Ghost Quarter you, and you're and I'm just like, okay, I'll just play an Excavator and get my land back.
Exactly. Yeah. So that doesn't do anything. When we both have Excavators, it's just kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of similarities in the deck, and I think, you know, I think my deck's doing some powerful things, but I'm not super happy with it. And I know your deck is definitely doing powerful things. You've obviously been successful with it. But I also think you weren't 100% super happy with it against the field in general. Is there anything you're looking to change? You know, maybe switch up some sideboard slots? Are you trying to get some more, like, disruption, I guess? I don't know. What are you looking for going forward with the deck?
So, like, right now I'm still very happy with the 75 that I brought to Atlanta. I have played this deck just a ton, and so I know by now I know basically every like option and everything, and like any possible like other card, and like so I knew what to expect from all my cards. So like there weren't any, like some people were like asking me kind of like that, like, are there any cards that you weren't happy with or anything? Well, I kind of knew what to expect with all the cards. There's definitely like flex slots in the sideboard also, and the main deck that's probably the kitchen thing, so the flex slots that, depending on like your expected metagame, you can switch off. Like if you need to, like Blessed Alliance, probably not that necessary in the board. I just wanted to make sure I could beat Burn, and it's decent against Shadow, and which it really paid off, because all I played was basically Burn and Shadow the last like six rounds of the tournament. But that Blessed Alliance doesn't really need to be there. More Surgicals are definitely necessary if you want to beat Dredge. Dredge, like, mine's pretty weak against Dredge. Avent Mind Sensor is basically only for Valakut and Tron. It's really basically for Valakut. Like, if you want to be Valakut, you need more Mind Sensors. Probably need Mind Sensor in the main also. But it's also good against Tron, like traditional green Tron. And then court of calling decks as well. If your meta doesn't really have those, that can easily go. Let's see. Whisperwood Elemental is just a favorite of mine. It's not that necessary for the deck, but I just love the card. I bring it in a ton. Linval is vital against devoted druid decks or elves. You cannot beat them without Linvala. So if you have a lot of those, you need more Linvalas. You can even play Linval in the main. Very easily.
I found the same thing with elves. Elves is just unwinnable for like any hate bear green white fair mm-hmm. deck. And even Linvala is not always enough, but I mean, yeah, if you have a Linvala, you're much more likely to win.
Yeah, if you don't have Linvala, you're gonna lose. And so, like, if you have Linvala, at least it's a game.
I still kept losing to Elvish Champion, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah, oh yeah, Elvish Champion's rough. So. What I've done with this deck for Elvish Champion, which something you can do. So I have Nye of the Reliquary, so I can sack my forest. I can go get a Ghost Quarter, sack another one of my forest stuff. Like I can make it so I have like, or like go get Horizon Canopy for my only lands. Use my like Horizon Canopy and birds, and like getting rid of your forest. Like against elves post board, you should not be trying to get very many forests on the battlefield, because you may need to get rid of your forest to not die to Elvish Champion, so you can block.
Yeah, it's totally fair.
Yeah. But yeah, so like tons of, yeah, you know, basically everything here is kind of customizable depending on your whatever metagame is at your local shop. Sigarda, as we mentioned before, is basically only in the deck for All Is Dust. If you don't have any Eldrazi Tron players, you don't need Sigarda. That's basically there to, because All Is Dust is, you just can't beat the card if you don't have it. For this deck, for decks I want to play and don't want to play against, again, Valakut is really an unwinnable matchup here. Like Eldrazi Tron, you have some hope. You have Thought Not Seer. You have a fast clock. This deck does not have a fast clock, and like Valakut is basically unwinnable. That's what I really don't want to face. Again, Ad Nauseam is not good. Dredge for this specific 75 is not good. Affinity, a lot of people think the Affinity matchup's really bad, but I actually don't think it's that bad. Basically, you have like a 0% chance of winning game one, sure, but I'm bringing in 12 sideboard cards, everything except for the other Excavator and the two Surgicals. And so between everything that I'm bringing in, including even Whisperwood to be able to have colorless things to block Edge Champion, there's enough stuff in the board that I have a really good matchup post-board.
Oh, that's actually a really interesting interaction there. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Whisperwood just does a lot of like random things that, like, that's that, like, at the surface you wouldn't think about. But yeah, that's one of them. Another one that's just amazing is it's amazing against Living End. If you have like turn one mana dork, turn two mana dork, because there's seven of them in the deck, and then turn three you play Whisperwood, get it out before they're Living End, because you can just, like, whenever in response to their Living End, you just sacrifice it, so all of your creatures turn just give you manifest tokens, and then it's in your graveyard, so it comes back with the Living End also, and it's really hard for them to beat Whisperwood. Let's see. So basically, matchups I don't want to face again: Valakut, Storm, and Nauseam. Elves is like impossible. Don't want to face elves at all. Even though I went 3-0 in games against elves in Atlanta, I was just really lucky for all of them. Matchups you do want to face: you want to face any kind of like mid-range deck. Again, Thoughtseize decks, best matchups basically. Regular green Tron, really good matchup because you just have so many ways to destroy their lands. So any decks that really need their mana base, that's like ad nauseum. Your best way of fighting them is just taking them off black sources completely and trying to play Stony Silence. That's your best ad nauseum. What are some really good matchups? Burn, pretty good matchup. Grixis Shadow, I had a really good record with against the tournament, but I think the Grixis Shadow matchup's not as good as like my record indicated. I think I drew pretty well, but then also just knew the matchup much better than my opponents. I think if I was playing against like the best in the world playing Grixis Shadow, they may even be favored. Grixis Shadow is just such a ridiculously good deck. But yeah, basically want to play against three color mid-range decks. Decks with slow clocks where I can just ghost quarter them out of the game. So decks that are weak to ghost quarter or have slow clocks.
Is there any thought to maybe cutting the Kitchen Finks, which you kind of already don't like, for a faster clock, just to try and get the game over faster? Is there anything that you can think of?
Yeah. There's a couple options if we want to do that. If we want to get the game over faster. Me, I like playing Magic, so I liked the games not being over fast because I like playing Magic. So I need the games to go. The whole reason I was playing this deck was for fun, not really to win the tournament.
And yet here we are.
Still won. Let's see. Okay, so a couple options. You could play Retreat to Coral Helm in that slot, which would mean you'd have to have like one Breeding Pool in the deck over one of the five forests. You also have Bird of Paradise and Noble Hierarch that can cast it as well. But having Knight and Retreat to Coral Helm, that's just a combo that will just end the game on the spot. So that's like the fastest clock if you want the fastest clock would be Retreat to Coral Helm, because that's just like it's just like a it just wins automatically once you untap with Knight. You can just kill him. You could also have something like Gideon, Ally of Zendikar. That could be a pretty fast clock. Let's see.
A card I really liked in the 3-drop slot that can actually give you some more game against Death Shadow is Mirran Crusader.
Yeah.
And if you put Mirran Crusader in there, it's actually a very fast clock with Noble Hierarch, where it's like attacking for 6 on turn 3.
That's true. That's a good one. Yep. And especially in having like Gavany Township to pump it up too. Yep. A good one. That's a good one too. Yep, could have Mirran Crusader in there. If your meta is full of Grixis Shadow, yeah, you probably just want Crusader instead of Finks. So, yep, that's a good one.
Countryside Crusher?
I honestly think that, so like, Burn, most people that look at this deck and like follow coverage and stuff because of my match, like, people think this deck is just, like, Burn just cannot beat this deck whatsoever. Burn was actually my one loss during the entire Atlanta tournament. I only lost one time, and it was actually 2 Burn. And I actually think the matchups, like, the games are usually really, really close. And so like, that's why I kind of have Kitchen Finks in there also, is to help that matchup. Because the only card in my sideboard that's any good against Burn is Blessed Alliance. Because if you have Courser, you're good. If you don't have Courser, like, Burn will just, they'll just throw Burn spells at your face and beat all the rest of these cards.
That's what I've actually found the same thing when I was testing Green White, was that it seems like you know, you'd have a good matchup against Burn because you have these green-white creatures you can block and put a clock on, but you really don't. Like, you need a Kitchen Finks. I'm playing Kitchen Finks in my list, and the card is terrible in the deck. It doesn't do anything but gain life. I mean, it's kind of resilient to removal, but it's generally not very good, but you just can't beat Burn without it.
Yeah. I mean, Searing Blaze is a hell of a card.
Yeah.
So. That is a magic card for sure. Any parting thoughts about Green-White Company?
Yeah, basically, if you want to play some fun magic and have a lot of fun, and I really recommend this deck. It is so much fun. But like I was saying before, you have to be. It's hard to play with all the shuffling. It takes a lot of time. So finishing a match in 50 minutes is hard sometimes. So you have to be playing really fast. There's tons of decisions to make with the deck. There's tons of lines, but you don't really have time to really think about them. So just always go with your gut and just play fast and do that. And I basically, every match when I know it's going to take longer, I'm playing against an opponent where I know the match is going to take longer, I tell my opponent that we have to play fast and not overly fast. So I'm just, I just let them know that, hey, sorry, my deck takes a long time to win. I'm sorry about it. I'm going to be playing fast, but we just don't have tons of time to think about lots of decisions to finish, three games. Like, you can't be going onto the tank in turn two and stuff. And so, I'm just straight up with them about that. Like, if I, after turn one or turn two, whenever I see what they're playing, I just tell them, hey, I'm sorry, my deck takes a long time to win and stuff. But yeah, if you want to just play a deck that's a ton of fun, that's what this deck is. I definitely recommend it for that. I don't think it's the best deck, and I don't think it's like the best choice to win against an entire field, because there's so many combo decks that are bad matchups. If this deck did start picking up and became a something where you're okay, well, every tournament, probably one or maybe two rounds, I'll face Green White Company during this open or GP, then I think you'll just see a resurgence of combo decks that'll just knock it back down. But for right now, it's got a decent matchup against Grixis Shadow, and it's a ton of fun to play, so I recommend it for that.
Nice.
All right, awesome, man. So you said you're going to Syracuse this weekend. Do you any ideas on what you think you're going to play?
I'm probably playing, my realistic three options are Green White Company, Eldrazi Tron, and Bant Eldrazi. I'll be playing one of those. So I think Richmond's the following weekend after this, and I think I'm going to be playing Bant Eldrazi the following weekend in Richmond, because just where the metagame will be. I think there's going to be more combo decks in Richmond, and so I'm going to be playing Bant Eldrazi. I haven't been exactly happy with my 75 for Bant Eldrazi yet. I'm still figuring that out. But for this upcoming weekend, I think I'm going to be playing Eldrazi Tron, just because it's just more powerful than Green White Company. And I think people are going to be more ready for Green White Company this weekend. And so I'll kind of switch to Eldrazi Tron. I'm not sure yet, though. I haven't really decided. But it's going to be one of these two decks, and then most likely Bant Eldrazi in Richmond the following weekend.
Sweet.
I like thinking ahead of where the metagame's going to be and stuff, and plan out stuff and go with the flow with that.
All right. Can you, I guess, then just sort of give us some shout-outs, team, sponsors, where we can find you, where we can sort of support you as you depart on your adventure into full-time content creation?
Yeah. You can find my articles on starcitygames.com, usually up every Wednesday, unless I'm late and make my editor mad and goes on Thursday. Sorry. And then also have Versus Series videos. They go up usually every Tuesday against Brad Nelson. Those are a lot of fun to do. So you can find both of those on starcitygames.com. And then you can find me on social media at Todd Stevens MTG at every social media platform, except for the ones I'm not on, but all the ones I'm on. And on Twitch also, that's one of them, Todd Stevens MTG, and that's a big part of what I do. So you can follow along to the stream. I stream basically mostly Modern. Like, Modern's the main format I've played for over the last year. Always be looking for new deck to makes and just have a lot of fun with it. So that's where you can find me.
Yeah, guys, he's not going to say it because he's a humble dude, but his stream is awesome. If you guys get a chance and you have some time to check it out, some downtime, it's not only entertaining, but he's just a good streamer where he's going to explain, you know, plays, you know, talk stuff through, and you know, he's good with the chat too. So I don't watch that much streams, but I've tuned into Todd's a couple of times, and I've always thought it was much better than most of the streaming I've watched. So definitely recommend it.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I'm a very, very regular Todd viewer, and also I have to say one of my proudest Twitch moments was giving you $5 because you Kari Zev's expertise somebody's Ulamog. I was like, do that. There's $5 in it for you. And somebody else put up $5 too, and I was like, yes, this is happening. $5 well spent. It was so good. But thank you so much for coming on, man. We really really appreciate it, and anything that we can do to sort of pump what you're doing, always feel free to give us a shout.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.